My name is Fabian Rügger and this is a tongue twister in German. Brautkleid bleibt Brautkleid und Blaukraut bleibt Blaukraut. And what that means is a wedding gown is a wedding gown and blue weed is blue weed. Blaukraut bleibt Blaukraut und Brautkleid bleibt Brautkleid.
I've found that the more you travel, the better you get at turning unwanted surprises, things you didn't plan for, into a happy travel memory. When you get lost, you need to ask a stranger for help. It's an opportunity to connect with another culture and to broaden your experience with the world. So let's take some time now to connect with listeners like you at 877-333-7425. So let's see who's got a good story to share now about travel serendipities, the kind of surprises, the kind of setbacks that actually, if you're a good traveler, can become the highlight of your trip. Patty's calling in from Orange City in Iowa. Patty, thanks for your call.
Thanks so much for having me.
Have you ever had some serendipity in your travels that actually became a lifelong memory?
You know, we sure did. We had signed up for a Paris Greeters organization that you can get these free tours from people who just volunteer their time. Normally, they're retired people.
Uh-huh.
And we had signed up weeks before we went on our trip, and no one ever really got paired with us, so we kind of wrote that off on our list. We had one day left in the city of Paris. We're going to a ballet. But at midnight the night before, we got an email saying they had matched us with someone, and that's where our unplanned encounter came into play.
So you met a stranger the next day who was joining this club of Parisians that want to meet visitors, and he spent some time with you. What was it like?
That's right. It was wonderful. He was a retired banker with three grown kids. He's lived all over the world and spoke five different languages. So needless to say, he was very, very interesting. And it was supposed to be a three-hour tour. But kind of like the Gilligan's Island thing, it turned out to be a lot more. We ended up ending the night at about 11:30 at night. And when we were done, he said, it is a pity we can't go to the jazz club. But we had to get back and pack because we were leaving for the United States very, very early the next morning.
Patty, so there's this organization in Paris that just collects volunteers and they want to meet travelers and they'll just go and be your buddy for the day.
Yes, and actually it's an organization. It's worldwide and it's called Free Greeters. And it's in most of the cities around the world. It's even in the United States, in New York City and Chicago. And our travel agent, which we hadn't even booked the trip through, happened to tell us about it. And that's how really our experience started. And
so this is called Free Greeters.
That's correct.
You can just Google that.
That's correct. And you'll find a whole host of people that they try to pair you with someone and they ask you what you're interested in. You kind of take a little survey. And then they try to find someone that has common interests.
Okay. And just if somebody's going to Paris, there's also an organization called Paris Greeters, parisgreeters.fr for France.
Great.
Sounds like almost too good to be true, but you could tap into this anywhere in your travels or at least give it a shot. There are clever ways to meet people like this, and that really does make a difference. Have you had any other experiences? Did you travel around the countryside of France?
You know, we did. And when we did one time, this was last summer, and we were in the Burgundy region, and we saw a big sign that said Brocante, and it was an old, rusty, dilapidated sign, but we knew Brocante meant secondhand, which is so much fun. So we turned off the main road and three side roads later in a dirt path, and we were about 3 kilometers down the road. We came upon this old farmhouse with 5 outbuildings, and a 90-plus-year-old couple invited us to come in and look around at all their buildings, and they were surprised to see us, and we think it's because they probably closed up shop maybe like 20 years earlier.
Yeah, I think they're probably surprised to see Americans who had the adventurous spirit like you, where you knew enough of the language to see a sign and go, oh, that's secondhand. You've got that in the United States, too. And then you had the nerve to turn off the main road and go down the dirt path and knock on somebody's door and go to an antique market.
And we had a great time. They were excited we were there. They showed us their dog and posed with pictures, and it was kind of like American Pickers, French style. We dug through their buildings and found dusty armoires and broken chairs and old boxes of books and things. And at one point, my daughter said, Mom, look, there's a donkey head. We're like, what? And we came over there. Turns out the donkey, it brayed, and it was attached to a body. And it was a real live donkey whose head had gone through the from the stable through the whole building. That it just, we couldn't believe we were having those kind of memories. It was just an unexpected blessing and turned out to be a highlight in our trip, even though it's never going to be in a guidebook and it won't.
Right.
Make the top 10 of anything.
You know, a lot of the very, very best experiences are not in guidebooks. You'll be, especially when you have a car, you're tooling around and you have to sniff out those adventures. If you see a little cheese festival or if you see a bunch of people gathered at the riverbank or if you see a Brocante sign, you know, have an adventurous spirit and good chance you've found your own little discovery.
Well, my husband always says he got this quote from someone, I'm not sure who, but our journey doesn't have a finish line, just another starting point.
That's nice. I like those kind of quotes. Robert Louis Stevenson said, I think that the great thing about the trip is not the destination, but the journey itself.
And that's so true. We've met people, we won't go all over the world, but we've met people from all over the world in our journeys. And when you do that, you just realize that the world is just a much smaller place and people really aren't that different than what we are.
Oh, you just nailed it there quite eloquently, the fundamental value of travel. Well, Patty, thanks for calling and best wishes in your future travels.
Well, thank you. And hey, I got to tell you, you're a rock star in our house. Our 13-year-old has your picture up on her bulletin board, and, you know, you rank right up there with Taylor Swift.
Well, you've got some travel in your blood there, so that's great.
Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Bye.
Linda's calling in Seymour in Indiana.
Hi, Rick. So glad to participate.
Yeah. Do you have some thoughts on turning serendipity into a happy travel memory?
I do. Ours was a memorable experience. I can't say it was just particularly happy, but my husband and I were in France driving through the Normandy region, and we left our little pension with our car, and due to the French road signage or lack thereof, we were shortly lost.
Mm-hmm.
We were headed to the Normandy beaches, and we wanted to go to the American cemetery, but as we were lost, we came upon a German cemetery that we hadn't known of. If we hadn't been lost, we wouldn't have seen it. And it was so beautifully kept, and it had the black marble crosses.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so soberly just gotten, by the experience, because we come from a German area.
Yeah, in Indiana, you mean?
Yes, in Indiana.
Well,
and the names on the crosses were names that we knew from our hometown. And so we realized that, those German soldiers, that many of them were hardly more than boys.
Linda, I've been to that cemetery. It's near a village named Lacambe, C-A-M-B-E.
Oh, yes.
It's the German military cemetery, and it's pretty close to the American cemetery that we all want to go to near Omaha Beach. And it is a wonderful experience, and it's a reminder that, especially, like you mentioned, you looked at every stone has the birth and the death dates of the person buried there, and most of these were just kids. It was the last year of the war, and Hitler was down to, he had to, enlist the old people and just kids that barely knew how to use a gun, and it was just a slaughter. And, this is really powerful, and a beautiful part of your trip to Normandy is to remember just the horrific nature of war on both sides.
Right, that was it, and to have that experience of the German cemetery, and then to go to the American cemetery, it was the complete experience.
But I think a cool sort of lesson that you're sharing is you got lost, and getting lost, you wouldn't have found that had you not got lost. So sometimes when you get lost, there's a reason hiding out there, and and with a positive sort of explorer's spirit, you can turn that into a little bit of positive travel serendipity.
Oh, certainly. That happened to us on another trip. We had taken my husband's parents and his sister and our oldest daughter, all of us in an 11-passenger van for our grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. So we're all driving through Germany, and we noticed that in this small town, everyone was turning right. Everyone was turning right. So we thought, we'll turn right, too. So we followed the crowd and happened upon a band contest.
Mm.
Apparently in German, every village has a village band.
Yeah.
And this was a band contest. And so we had all these bands performing and beer trucks and food, and it was a great time.
Wow. I've been to those, and they raise money for the band by having a cute little girl with her dirndl on walking around with a little cask of schnapps, and she'll pour a tiny glass full of schnapps, and you take a hit and you give her a few euros. And it's
for
a
donation.
Yeah, for a donation. And it's quite a funny way for the band to make
the combination
make
of the cute little girl and the schnapps is excellent.
And the big guys with the oompa tubas and all of that. And that's just a lot of fun. All right, Linda, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Happy travels.
You too. Bye-bye.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking how serendipity, stuff you can't even find in a guidebook, stuff you can't plan, turns into great travel memories. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Anthony's calling in Eugene, Oregon. Anthony, thanks for your call.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick. It's great to be on the show after so many long times listening to you.
Oh, good. Do you have some serendipity experiences that you'd like to share to inspire us to get out there and risk making some mistakes and turning it into good memories?
Oh, indeed. My very first time overseas kind of set the tone for my travels and a lot of my life. I was 20 years old, and I was participating in a student exchange. I grew up in Virginia. I went to college in Tennessee. I'd never been out of the country before. And next thing I knew, I was in Edinburgh, Scotland. And I had gotten into the city. You know, my first day, the first time I tried crossing the street, I nearly got run over by a taxi because I looked the wrong way, you know, stuff like that. And then the next day, I get up and I'm like, okay, I am going to get to know this city. I'm going to get out there. I've looked at maps. I've looked at guidebooks. You know, I've got to get out there and make my way. So I make this big plan for the day and mark down things I'm going to try to do and all this. And I walk out. I was staying in a hostel just outside of the city center. I walk out of there, and on the steps of the place, there's about four or five other people just sitting there chatting. And I stand there for a second, just kind of take a deep breath, and I'm ready to launch off. And this woman looks up at me from the group and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, I was going to do this thing or that thing." She's like, "Oh, we were going to go to Edinburgh Castle. You want to come with us?" And I thought about everything that I thought I was going to try to do, and I looked at them, and I said, "Yeah, I would."
And?
And we had this amazing day together. You know, for starters, there's so much to be said. Yeah, solo travel can be wonderful, but when you're new in a place and you're so new to being abroad, being there with a few other people who were, you know, peers, we were all students, it turned out. They're in from Germany.
Yeah.
We spent the day checking out the castle. We went around the old town and the new town. We had lunch at cool places and went to pubs. And it really set the tone, not only for those few months that I was there during that semester, but I finished college. I went back to Scotland on a work visa.
Yeah.
Ever since, you know, travel has been this huge part of my life. And I think that serendipity, understanding what it was like to open yourself up to new people and new experiences, really set a tone for me. It's like, yeah, you know, the world isn't all perfect or nice, but there's a lot of good in it. And if you're open to it, you're going to find it.
Yeah, that is, you know, the kind of the philosophy or the standard operating procedure should be, when presented with an opportunity, your answer is, yeah, sure. Just
yes,
like you said, when
exactly.
You met those strangers and they said, "Let's go to the castle together."
Yeah.
It reminds me, I was just in the Holy Land, and I was in Israel, and I was going over to Palestine. And I was tired after a long day of sightseeing in Jerusalem, went over to Bethlehem, checking into my little guest house, and it was 10 and 11 o'clock at night. I was just tired. I wanted to go to my room, and I met like a dozen Lutheran pastors that were there on some sort of a retreat, and they said, "We're going down into the cave. Do you want to come down with us and have a fellowship?" And I thought, well, I don't know these people, and I just moved in, and I'm just tired. But I thought, boy, in Bethlehem, with a bunch of Lutheran pastors going down into a 2,000-year-old cave right next to Nativity Church. I said, yeah. And I went down there, and it completely messed up my whole schedule. I had little chores I needed to do and all this kind of stuff, but I grabbed the moment. It was serendipitous, and I had a beautiful experience with them, and I'll remember it the rest of my life because I said yes.
That's exactly the thing. You can always do that other stuff later. Sometimes
yeah.
When these things come up, you realize that might just be more important or the better experience than what you originally had in mind.
Great. Well, Anthony, I hope you keep up with the travel fun and tapping into all that serendipity.
Oh, we're inculcating our son into it now. Last year, this time, we were in Japan, my wife and I and our son, who was then 15 months old. So.
Good for you.
Thanks, man.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
We're sharing tales of travel serendipities right now on Travel with Rick Steves at 877-333-7425. You can also send us your travel stories by email. The address is radio@ricksteves.com. And Frankie's calling in from Surrey in British Columbia. Frankie, thanks for your call.
You're very welcome. I'm pleased to be able to listen in and then contribute a little piece of what I've been up to.
And what's that?
One of the things that was one of those serendipity that you hope for when you're on holidays and visiting strange places with lots of interesting people is you have those individual personal contacts. And the one that was a standout for me was in a small little mountain town north of the Algarve in Portugal. The Algarve I found to be so busy and so everyone was frantically busy of let's have a good time on the beach that it wasn't a good time. But there's lots of opportunities, if you've got a car or if you've got access to the public transportation, to get out of the very busy areas and up into small, very personalized small towns that have been there for who knows how many eons. And this one involved going in just for a coffee was going to go in for, and coffee there is either espresso or white coffee. If you want milk, white coffee. But met this gentleman who was already standing there having his own espresso, and he had a little beret on, and he was just, I don't know, in his 70s or early 80s maybe, but, you know, just a gentleman from the area. And he heard me in my very broken Spanish Portuguese ask for a café, and he said, "Are you from America?" And I did. Said yes, and but not from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, where if not the U.S.?" And, "Well, Canada." Ah, and he related, and you could just see his eyes just sort of go back in time that he was a professor years back in the 50s at McGill University in Montreal, which is in eastern Canada. And so he said, you know, people in Montreal, and of course I live in Vancouver, the other side of the country. And I said, "Well, I've been there once upon a long time ago, but no, I don't know anyone." But he related how wonderful he'd found Canada and the Canadian people and how he liked to speak English with other North Americans. And so it was so wonderful just sitting in this little cafe having a conversation with this gentleman, just one-to-one. And I'd said that I'd come to the town learning that they did a lot of metalwork here, so that's what I was looking for to take home with me.
Hmm.
So he directed me down two little lanes down to where someone pound out the copper. And so we bought some handmade copper items, which was just, you know, I still have them in my home.
Mm-hmm.
But this gentleman just made the difference for that whole week that we were in that area.
I love it, Frankie, when you have a little physical souvenir of a meeting like that. So every time you look at that little piece of copper art, you're going to remember your friend that you met on that little town in the south of Portugal. You know, came up with a very good tip. There's a lot of very beautiful and touristed resort beach areas. The Costa del Sol is notorious for that, the French Riviera, and the south coast of Portugal, which I love, the Algarve. But even though the Algarve is getting touristed and intense these days, as you mentioned, but always you can go inland just a little bit. Remember, all of the vacationers crush right down to the beaches. But the local people, they almost get bullied away from the coast because the coast becomes expensive and they can afford to live 5 or 10 miles inland. And I've hung out with people, both expats who are retired there and locals, in a very mellow, relaxed way, just a few miles inland from all the resorts. I remember sitting on people's porches and just lazily cracking almonds that they harvested and, you know, just having a nice laid-back time with them. And you find people have a little more time for a Canadian or an American visitor when they're away from the resorts. And I think that's very good
advice. And those are the moments you remember.
That's
for
sure.
Long after you come home and you've tidied up all your bills, you say, "Well, why did I go? It's to meet the people that live in these areas."
Exactly. All right, Frankie, thanks for your call.
You're very welcome.
Take care. Bye now.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and tapes and a grapes and a cake.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. We get technical help from Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern-Graham. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. Thanks to Aaron Harding and to our colleagues at WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut for helping us out this week. You'll find more to each week's show in the radio section of ricksteves.com. That's where you can listen again whenever you like. It's also where you can send us your email address so that we can contact you to be a caller on the show. We'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.